Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guests on this episode are Martine Selasco and Mike Gebhardt of Terracactus. The new Terracactus album, Calypso, is out now via Share It Music. The album is an exploration of systems, resistance, and the motives and movements of the world that rest just beneath the surface. Selasco conceived the work as an opening point for new expression to emerge amid conversations about migration, cultural memory, and resistance. Gebhardt and Selasco recently discussed the origins of the music heard on the LP with me, as well as the social and political power of music, and how Calypso reflects themes, hopes, and fears of the planet at the present moment. That's Martine Selasco and Mike Gebhardt of Terracactus on Into Music, coming up now. Do you recall kind of the spark of inspiration that led to this group of compositions?
I think when first starting to record, there's not like a clear objective, and it kind of comes together at the end of the process. But I think it was a lot of, you know, we were touring together, listening to a bunch of music and taking inspiration from a bunch of different sounds. Yeah, the themes kind of arose later on in the process as we, you know, figured out what tied it all together in a way.
Part of that is that idea of exploring like what collapse means, right? That collapse can, in some instances, be a necessary process, and in some cases, inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the theme of collapse came out in also just the time in which we found ourselves and what was going on in the world. You know, I think there was a lot of, for a while, I felt like Latin American electronic music especially kind of became this backdrop for, you know, almost like an aesthetic, or it's either like party culture, or it was retreats in Tulum sort of thing. And meanwhile, we were looking around and immigrant communities were being attacked and kidnapped. And it felt like, not like collapse was happening, but like these systems needed to be called into question. So like a collapse, I mean, collapse did feel like it was happening, but
yeah,
I think. You know, it was also viewing that from a different lens and putting a different perspective on what was happening and how the music can inspire something a little bit more subversive or countercultural, or just not become subject to what I mentioned earlier, where it's like something to consume, right? Mm-hmm.
And the sort of like tokenizing of an aesthetic, like,
yeah,
just like, oh, this is very easy to take in, but it has none of the political kind of juice that it originally had. Like cumbia is a protest music. A lot of Latin American music has a protest undertone to it. Even if it is bright and even happy sounding, it still is like heavy thematically sometimes.
This is primarily instrumental music, and it was this powerful reminder that even if you don't have words, there can be some sort of message, there can be some sort of politics involved in it.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, or at least reflection on, even if it's not overtly political because it is instrumental, it at least invites a different sort of reflection or perspective. Yeah, totally.
Tell me a little bit too more about this history of Latin music and rebellion, that I guess there's rebellion in rhythms or change of forms, right?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm from Colombia, and there's a singer, Joe Arroyo, that is, he has a song called La Rebellion, which is the rebellion. And it's an immensely popular salsa song in Colombia. It's played until this day. It's recorded in the late 70s. The themes are about slavery, and it's like a very danceable song, but then it's about this like history, essentially history of slavery in Colombia. and then the current situation of like Afro-Colombian people at that time, which still is like very present to today. So it's like it's this thing where you're dancing to a song or listening to it, and then but then also the words are quite politically minded, or they're just like illuminating a very kind of history that seems counter to what you're listening to, like on just a notes or sonic level or something. But that's just like one, that's just one example. There's many throughout all of Latin America and sort of like any music with the like with Afro centrism or Afro African rhythm as its base kind of has that, can have that drive to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the music has, roots in African traditions and indigenous traditions and kind of how all that was happening in a time of colonialism, colonization, colonialism, and a way for people to keep in touch with their roots was to bring in the drums and dance and keep those traditions alive.
Music is such a powerful form of communication, especially I think in times of unrest. You know, you hear so many stories throughout history where songs that seem like, you know, very plain or something were communications amongst people who were resisting or something like that, because it would just fly under the radar of the government, you know, like they didn't understand that this is something really powerful.
I grew up surrounded by a lot of music from the 70s and 80s from Argentina, which there was a military dictatorship in Argentina, and there was a lot of music that was happening where music became a form of resistance. It was seen like if you had your hair growing out, like, and you were going to rock clubs, like the dictatorship would show up and shut things down. And so a lot of artists had to be, hiding their messages in metaphors. Or, my grandfather had a label back in that time, and yeah, there was just a lot of, underground movements that were happening in music that could get this, a pass sometimes because it was masked in metaphor, but other times, artists also had to go in exile in Europe, especially a lot of like folkloric artists who were talking about the struggle of the people. And yeah, there's a lot of history of resistance in music, and it's fascinating, and it's huge.
I had this experience back in the early 2000s. I was living in Poland and teaching English, and a friend invited me to this jazz club. And I went, and it was these sort of older gentlemen, and they were just playing a lot of standards, you know. And he leaned to me and he said, "You know, 20 years ago, we would have been arrested for listening to this music."
Because it was American and like seen as capitalist or like seen as
And it was like, oh my God, you know, like I've taken this for granted my entire life, all of this music, and this was lifeblood for people and dangerous for them.
It's also just like it is political if as any group of people to experience joy, if the power structure is like trying to tamp you down or like just make it so you just are working all the time. To experience joy and just to dance or to feel liberated for even a song or a record or a show where there's, three groups or something, or it's like that's an act of political resistance or just like a way of just being like, I'm out of this system for now. Like, or even if it's just for that moment or something, it's kind of, it doesn't have to be so like in instrumental music, we're just listening to notes, but then it's like, there's no words, like you were saying before, but still that anything that brings us joy, it's like that has some political value or like just liberating value to it.
And this music can be danced to. I'm not much of a dancer, but it's very hard for me to sit still while I'm listening to it, you know.
Awesome. Oh,
That's
awesome.
great.
Yeah, thank you.
And there's this exuberance to it where it was kind of like a couple of times I was like, I want to go grab like coworkers down the hall and say, like, you know, listen, let's be a community, which is another huge part of music overall.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
Yeah, it's meant to be listened together or like enjoyed together. That's.
Yeah, and I think at least something that I try to bring in is touching, it not just being danceable, like party music, like woo, like rager, kind of that kind of dancing. But there's a lot of moments where it feels introspective and reflective, yet you still want to move your body to it. There's still something propulsive about it. So yeah, I love that the tension between those two, or not maybe not necessarily tension, but the exploring that range of emotions through the music.
I think anybody who undertakes an artistic pursuit, it's almost like we're trying to build a world that we want to see through whatever form of art we practice.
Yeah, or at least it's a certain lens on how you can see the world.
Definitely.
So maybe it's like if it's a dark song, it's not like we want to see darkness in the world, but it's cast a certain perspective on a particular moment in time, a particular
Internal feeling or something, or
yeah.
a portion of the proceeds for this album go to the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project. Tell me a little bit about what specifically that organization, meant to you to make that, happen with proceeds from the album.
During the process of deciding to put out this record, it was a time when a lot of immigrants were being kidnapped and or attacked otherwise, and there's a lot of separation and division going on. And to look for an organization that could support whatever way they could, locally, in the region here, it felt like a responsibility to that, like even if it's not like our record's going to raise millions of dollars for this organization, but even symbolically as an act of solidarity, I think that's important. I want to give a shout out to the label Share It Music, who it's part of the label's, mission is to connect musicians and artists with social causes that they care about and connect them with local nonprofits and provide the structure for us to be able to say, hey, 10% of sales go to this organization. Yeah, shout out to Share It Music for helping and inspiring other artists to do that locally and beyond.
And it's like a way for the people that are purchasing the music to then also support. It's like Share It's done the work of connecting these musicians with these causes and finding just it's just a nice, it's good for the people that support Share It Music as a label too. It's like good for everybody. Sometimes it's very hard to know as just like a person, like who do I give money to, or like how does what do you do, when you see stuff that's so like horrifying.
I want to ask a heavy question, which is, what do you think that if one were born native in this country, right, what are we not learning from people who have emigrated to this country from our immigrant population? What are we not seeing that immigrants see in this country, you know?
There's like such a in the constitution of the country, in the history of the country, in like the image that's portrayed, that has been portrayed. I would say, like, I moved to the States in 1996 with my family, and I was five. But even then, I was told, this is a land of promise and opportunity, and basically, anyone can become anything here. And there's a deep way where we aren't living up to that. Those promises, and especially the like everybody out, or the deportations, or the and that being like throughout administration, like from Bush to Obama, there was no change. From Obama to Trump, there was definitely no change. It's been the policy of deportation and also like profiting off of essentially illegal labor so that you can pay people less. Like that's also really messed up as well. I would say there's a promise in the sort of light of the Constitution, of the history of America, and there's like ways in which so the society's not fulfilling that or like living up to it. And like that's not I'm you know I, there's no sort of solution. It's also, it's like the countries that people are coming from need to like be reinforced by the globe, so that people don't have to like leave their countries to find survival, or but also the way in which the deportations are happening are completely inhumane, and it's just like the dehumanizing of people is not what I think this country is like the goal is. Like the ideal should be to lift people up. And like everybody, and it's like it's in the Constitution.
That's great, Mike. I think, yeah, what do I just want to get back to the core of the question, which is like, what do immigrants see that they're trying to bring here, or what opportunities are they coming for? And I think, I don't know, I see that it's either, I don't know, I mean, I think, you know, on a basic level, I think a lot of immigrants are coming here to work or to have a sense of, you know, escaping religious or whatever sort of persecution,
Political,
political persecution, or you know, which is kind of the entire history of the US. You know, you said born natively, but if you go back, you know, a couple centuries,
definition
that
is
definition changes,
smaller.
and the people who now consider themselves born natively. So yeah, it's a country that's in its contemporary form made by immigrants, and so I think it's incredibly important to what that country or what this country means is to have people who are wanting to contribute and build and yeah, I don't know. It's a tough
I guess I just
topic.
want to add to, sorry, is that there's a lot of good things about this country too. It's like the freedom of speech, the freedom of expression, the fact that like people can criticize the government, people can criticize the president, not like be put in jail. I mean, you know, it's like there's like that those things are rights and liberties here that aren't the case in other places around the world, and that's a positive. So I don't want to just like bag on the current state of yeah
It's
it's
tough.
it's
There's a
it's a
lot.
it's a it's a it's fine. I aside from music, all I do is just watch the news, and it's crazy making.
That's without diving into like, you know, US imperialism abroad and creating a lot of the conditions
That's
or
true. That's
encouraging a
also
lot of the
true.
conditions that you know, whether they're like dictatorships that were basically, you know, encouraged,
Installed by
installed, that then people are
CIA
wanting to
or
flee
yeah,
and
Chile, Argentina, Brazil, like you can go down the list of
so yeah,
in Latin America.
it's a deep, heavy question for sure.
Like, you're kind of saying no, you get me wrong. There's like a but it's like I mean my family is, my grandparents on both sides immigrants, right? And that was one of the things that we grew up with, was like, it's okay to criticize this country if you're unhappy with something. You don't have to worry about that. You know, because if you're looking at it critically, then you're trying to make it better.
There's love there.
I think people like me were naive in some way, as we were brought up by parents and grandparents who were telling us this is the You know, this at the same time, this is the best place. It's going to be okay. You know, your dreams will be fulfilled without that understanding that that's not true for everybody.
And so that's where that the ideal and the reality kind of there's a mismatch, and these things that we held up as like to be completely true or that we could rely on tend to like get it, the foundation gets shaky, you know? And so that's kind of going back to the perspective that from what the album is trying to talk about is not speak about because it's instrumental, but the perspective that the lens through which we're framing the music is one where the foundation is shaky and people want to get together and experience something new, build something new in community. That's kind of the hope.
You've been listening to a conversation with Martine Selasco and Mike Gebhardt of Terra Cactus. The band's new LP, Calypso, is out now via Share It Music.
You can learn more about Terror Cactus at their official website, terror/cactus.com. Copies of Calypso can be ordered via terrorcactus.bandcamp.com/merch. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening, and as always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson.